Hello.
Okay, so I get to babysit while we're doing this episode, so there might be periods where I don't talk, which is always okay because we have you guys who are fantastic. The reason why we are not going to be doing a prepared topic is because when we announced that, we lost 20 subscribers. Okay?
You think there's a direct connection between us saying we're going to prepare a topic and people not subscribing as opposed to people just listening and deciding that, hey, you know what? I don't want to listen to this.
Well, the weird thing was, here's why I think it was a protest, an organized protest by our 73 fans. The number dropped from 73 to 51, but climbed back up to 71. So I'm thinking possibly those people left to tell us a lesson, and two people just said to hell with us.
Okay, so wait, we skipped a week again.
Yeah.
So we got more listeners when we skipped a week. I think if we just don't do this show, it'll become the number one podcast on iTunes.
I think that's quite a possibility.
If we take another yearly hiatus, it might be a good idea.
Depending on how things go, it may not be a choice. It's just.
All right.
It's true.
So now.
Is running around a room somewhere.
So we don't have a topic then.
Well, we could make a topic up, like trying to podcast while holding a boy.
Yeah, I can't relate to that.
You don't have to relate to it.
Yeah, I got nothing on it.
Okay, well let's talk about a pet project I'm working on.
Your documentary about a local business?
Yes.
Okay.
Now it's been bugging me. It's almost something that I now need to do. If you've been to Petaluma, there's a place called the Petaluma Pie Company. It just opened up a year ago. Now, I'm fascinated with the life, I guess, what decisions are made to make somebody a pie maker. Like, this is this person's livelihood. And they only make pies.
Well, if they touch people and they immediately die, that would be... Oh, wait, no, I'm thinking of a quirky sitcom that was on about a couple years ago.
Did it involve pies?
Yes.
Oh,
yes, it did.
That's Pushing Daisies, one of the shows I wanted
yes.
to
remember. Oh, right. Yeah.
Pushing Daisies. It was the lead character on Pushing Daisies was a pie man.
Now, originally, it was going to be... Like, I put this out on Google+. I said I wanted to do a documentary, but I didn't have a topic. And yeah. Derek Chen suggested as a joke, I think. He just wrote pies. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. Because I haven't found a documentary on pies. And then I was like, well, I'll just talk to a local business. Because then I don't have to write a script.
I had heard for a while that pie was going to be the next big thing. Like, you know, cupcakes became a big thing a few years ago, and that pie was going to be next. Still haven't really seen that. I think donuts actually in Atlanta kind of took a little more focus.
So the question
is, we've got a couple of gourmet donut shops here.
Would you guys watch a documentary on either pies or pie makers? What is your attention span for such a thing?
How much time are you going to spend dedicated to making pies to be thrown in each other's faces?
I'm thinking about asking about strange pie requests and things, because they also do savory pies. You know?
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
so it's an interesting... I've actually read about the proprietors, and one's like a filmmaker, and the other was a graphic designer. So now they're both running a pie company. Unless it's a front for something.
You know, I have watched documentaries about Stranger Things. So really, it all depends on the material you get and how you edit it together, really.
Now, for distribution, I'm thinking YouTube. Because I don't have time restrictions anymore. I'm technically a YouTube partner.
So, I think you should distribute them in little cardboard sleeves. Put those in bags.
Well, I'm thinking maybe max. Originally, I was thinking 90 minutes. I'm thinking 30 minutes would be a good number.
To drum up some interest for the full feature that you'll release later.
Is there a thing like short form documentaries? Does that exist, or is that just television?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have like the 30 days television show, which is like a 30 minute pseudo documentary.
Well, that's a reality show then.
See, now this is really disappointing because as soon as you told me it was going to be a documentary about pies, I imagined this was going to be a big 3D IMAX thing.
Yeah, with my budget of, you know, well, the budget, it was going to be about $8 million. So that's still pretty low for a Hollywood flick. I could probably have about 24 seconds of IMAX footage.
See, I was just thinking, you know, you just imagine you have that pie that's floating there in the center of the screen, slowly rotating, and look, everyone's reaching out to try and grab the pie. You could pump in fresh pie scent directly into the theater.
And then we could sell pie at the end at a huge markup.
Yeah, I tell you, you got it.
Well,
you debut it at a theater next to a Weight Watchers, and you are gold.
Oh man, and you can do a tie-in with McDonald's for their apple pies. It's printed on every single one of them. It's amazing.
Well, I'm glad you guys are on the business side of this, because I just wanted to make a piece, like a work, and put
it out
there.
I'm just a promotional kind of guy.
Well, yeah.
What do I know about content?
I might have to work on a Kickstarter page so I can get a Oh man, that I didn't even think about raising money. I was just going to use a camcorder. And
raising money is a headache, man, let me tell you.
But what extras could I give away as a content maker, Jonathan?
Hi.
What kind of extras?
Yeah, I mean,
that's a no-brainer. It's like if you pledge $50, we will send you a pie.
No, you get a nice like plastic pie keychain.
No, not for $50. That's come like on, for $50, you gotta send
brass,
a real pie.
A real pie.
Flash frozen pie.
I don't know.
Packed in dry ice.
I don't know if they do that. I could ask them that too. Like, I'm
sure somebody can do it.
Somebody can. Somebody sent us a pizza today, and it was packed in dry ice. So I don't see why not.
There's actually a pie factory that's right down the street from where I'm at, and when I get off the train in the evenings, I can often smell it, and it is maddening. I mean, you know,
oh man,
you just want to start biting everything that's in general reach of you because the scent is everywhere.
We have a cereal, I believe it's a Kellogg factory, somewhere out on the west side, and you drive by and every now and then it just smells like Lucky Charms marshmallows for a few miles. It's kind of amazing. And yeah, you need going, you know, I really need to buy some Lucky Charms.
I used to work across the street from a Colonial Bread factory, and again, like, you'd walk out in the afternoon and it would smell like fresh baked bread, and it was a great smell, but you know, it would drive you nuts that you couldn't have any of it because it's a factory. It's not like it was a distribution center.
Well, maybe you could try to eat something with a similar mouthfeel while you're inhaling the smell, and then you have that feeling. You just have to, because I mean, most of your taste is smell anyway.
Well, you know, they're actually, I was just listening to another podcast where they were talking about cross-sensory modalities and how one sense can inform and shape another, so that our perception of reality is really dependent upon multiple sensory inputs all at the same time. So if you were to have the same kind of food on two different colors of dishes, for example, depending upon how the dish was colored, this study is a real small study done with white plates and black plates and a little dollop of strawberry mousse on each plate. And they polled everybody afterward and to say what they thought about the mousse. And it was the exact same stuff on each plate. But the people who tried it on the black plates all uniformly said it wasn't as sweet as the one on the white plate, which suggests that our sight, our vision actually changes our perception of taste when we're eating something, depending on what it looks like. And so a lot of companies that are all about the appearance of food have taken that into consideration, which is why you get a lot of really bright colors, especially for fast food places, for things like, you know, bright reds and bright yellows and that kind of stuff. And so there you go. It could actually work. You know, if you had that right mouthfeel, that textual thing, while you're still having the smell, it could work.
So none of this helps me at all with my documentary. Unless I put
It does help you with your documentary. That could be a whole little tangential pathway you explore that ultimately goes nowhere, and then you come back to your main point.
So you want me to make
exactly the main point of the...
You want me to make a bad documentary is what you're saying.
Well, I'm just, you know, I'm basing it off the ones I've seen most recently. So
actually, honestly, a bad documentary about pie would probably be better than a good documentary about pie.
Well, the thing is, it's all because Jonathan said that pinball documentary. He mentioned that a while ago. I watched it and I was just irritated by a poorly made documentary. I'm
Eric,
I can do a better one.
I think a bad pie is better than a good pie documentary.
Yeah, that'll be the level of rewards. We'll send you a good pie for $50. A lousy pie if you give us $20. $10 will send you one of those table talk ones. The
$100, chicken pot pie.
we'll kill the chicken right in front of you.
$100. Which takes us back to one of the topics that was suggested for this show, which was about PETA.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so is this based on the Mario thing?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to explain this?
Okay, so for those of you who listen who do not know the story, PETA did this whole promotional thing about, because there was a new Mario game that came out, and it has Mario wearing his little raccoon suit. I can't remember the name of the actual animal. It's like a cross between a raccoon and a dog. But the PETA was saying that, you know, this promotes the idea of killing animals and skinning them for their furs. It's a costume. It's not even a fur outfit. But
Tanuki.
Not only that, but it's Tanuki. Thank you.
Tanuki. Yep,
it's also just, you know, it's a video game, so it's fake. It's literally just pixels. But for some reason, this got PETA up in arms about, you know, oh, well, no, it's promoting cruelty to animals, which is pretty ridiculous. I didn't see them say anything
at
all. I mean, he's been kicking turtles forever.
Not only that, like, there's a stage where he's, like, working with Yoshi, and then, like, to get to the next level, he jumps off of Yoshi, and Yoshi falls into, like, the abyss, and that's fine with PETA, but if you kill a fake Tanuki?
But he never even kills anything. He doesn't kill anything. It's a costume. It's not a fur suit.
Isn't it,
though? You know, no, it's not. But anyway, the fact that PETA then went out and commissioned someone to make this game-like thing that was you play a skinned, bloody Tanuki chasing after a Mario-like figure that's wearing a Tanuki suit that's dripping in blood. And I'm like, yes, because that's exactly what the message of that game is. Really, all that did was it just brought to mind all the other crazy publicity stunts PETA has done over the years. I really think that they're very good at causing an uproar and controversy and terrible about actually promoting their message.
Now,
they're very good at being heard, but terrible about anyone actually listening to them.
Now, you saw this as a topic of potential that we would prepare for. Did you actually prepare anything for such a topic? And what could you possibly prepare with, considering that's pretty much the whole story, other than PETA said, yeah, we were kidding about that?
Well, simple. The thing I prepared was the I looked up at a site of the top 10 most ridiculous publicity stunts that PETA has ever done.
Okay.
Because I thought, you know, this is a recent one. But, and actually, yeah, the article I saw was an older one, so it predates the Mario thing. But yeah, I was just looking, because I was curious. I remember a few, and they weren't even on this list. Like, I remember there was one, I think it was when I was right out of college, where PETA commissioned, they actually bought billboard space around several college campuses and put up a billboards about it's better to drink beer than it is milk. That beer is healthier than milk, and that milk can cause problems, and that you shouldn't be drinking milk, so you should drink more beer. And so that got a lot of other organizations like MAD very upset that they're promoting alcohol consumption on college campuses, which really, on a college campus, the only promotion you need to say is something like, hey, it's Thursday, let's go drink. But, you know, that was like one that I remembered. Of course, there's all the ones about, you know, various supermodels wearing practically nothing while talking about animal cruelty. There was the gravestone that they put next to Colonel Sanders' gravestone that if you read down the side of it, spelled out KFC tortures birds. There was the ad they did that said that there was a link between drinking milk and autism.
And autism, yeah, I just saw that one pop up.
yep, which was based on one study, and it wasn't even that milk causes autism. It was that there was shown to be at least some sort of correlation, but not necessarily causation, of kids who had autism seemed to improve if they had less milk in their diet. But that doesn't mean that milk causes autism.
Well, you could argue then, like, you know, kids who have autism have also been exposed to air. So clearly, air right. is the issue. Yeah, I love
so that anyway, but that was just one of those things that it, the thing that it really brought to my mind is, you know, what do the people behind PETA really think they're accomplishing with these? Because ultimately, it's just one of those things that most people say, well, that's in terrible taste, and the message itself gets lost. Like, it doesn't seem to be helping animals at all. It just seems to be irritating people. And I would think that the effort they put forth trying to do these crazy publicity stunts could be better spent actually promoting animal, you know, ethical treatment of animals and helping animals, as you know, like donating to things like humane societies and things of that nature, as opposed to, you know, trying to shock people, because the shock stuff doesn't work other than for people to say, gosh, what a bunch of jerks.
Yeah, but the humane societies also have those horribly what's the word?
Depressing
emotionally,
ads.
Yeah. Emotionally manipulative
yeah,
ads.
Yeah, you look at them yeah. and you're like, I think it was on Reddit recently, and it had a picture of Sarah McLachlan with a dog, and it says, I'm about to ruin your whole day. It's like,
yeah.
Like those humane societies, while, I mean, they are drawing attention to animal cruelty, just ruin your entire day. There goes a guitar.
And it's not just the whole cruelty thing. I mean, they clearly, humane societies are in a tough pinch too, because there are only so many people who are willing to own animals, and there are way more animals out there that need owners. So, I mean, yeah, it's emotionally manipulative and it's ham-fisted, but at least in that case, I would say they're trying to find some sort of solution to the problem of there's only so many animals we can take in, and after that we have to start either turning them away or euthanizing. There's no good solution after that point.
Well, you could eat them.
It's there's kind of some cultural issues with that in the United States. We don't tend to eat the animals we consider pets. I don't know if you've figured this out yet or not, Ayaz. Maybe you should do a documentary on it.
What's that?
If the pie thing doesn't work out.
Do pies have feelings? I should be seeking that information too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you should. I think that if you do this pie documentary, there must be a 20-minute section where you interview a pie.
Where interview a pie?
Yeah. I mean, how are you going to determine whether or not a pie has feelings? Unless you sit down and you really dive into that pie.
Like, well, pie, do you feel like you've been shortchanged by Pac-Man, who has obviously ripped you off and after all of these years? And then I'll wait for its response.
Now, that's just ridiculous, because Pac-Man was originally Puck-Man. So if anyone should be upset, it's hockey.
Hockey?
Yeah, Pac-Man was Puck-Man, hockey puck. Therefore, hockey should be upset at Pac-Man, not pie.
But
Pac-Man's not based off pie.
But pucks don't have mouths.
Look,
neither do pies.
Your logic eludes me.
So Ayaz's method of debate is to ignore whatever was said.
That's the goal. Well, that and I'm running and chasing a boy. I'm making sure he's not eating small things. You know those little covers that show up on HDMI cables, like over the connector?
Yes.
He decided that a good idea is to eat it. So,
pretty sure, like, isn't a kid's decision on anything that a kid can get their hands on when they're that young is to eat it?
Pretty much to eat it.
I think
you
heard that answer.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, no shock there.
Most small dogs make that decision as well. But they just keep doing it.
They never grow out of it.
Let's see. So you guys think there's no correlation to the fact that we lost 20 subscribers and then gained... Well, actually, we lost 22 subscribers and we gained 20 back. You don't think there's any correlation to us threatening to be prepared for a topic?
No, I think what that correlation goes to is people saying, hey, I know who these people are. I will listen to this podcast. Listening to the podcast and thinking, well, I could waste an hour of my life doing anything else.
But they could be listening to us complain about them, complaining about us.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm in this with you guys, so maybe I'm just in too deep and I can't see it from our loyal listeners' perspective. That's probably the problem right there. I don't have enough insight. You know what we need to do is some market research.
Yeah, with our budget for this show, this show's budget is about what do we pay a year?
Yeah.
For the host fees
I don't know. You're the one doing it.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta consult the books, but I'm pretty sure we're on record at spending. We've spent over $300 billion on the show.
See, we just need to get this ported over to be part of Twit. I mean, and then that's all we need to do.
I don't think you'd be allowed to show up.
That's probably true.
I've thought about doing this. I'm like, okay, you know, I could just sit at my desk and do this. I put you guys on Skype avatars or something, but I have
really
this
sad.
Feeling.
That is true. I probably couldn't do this.
But we are not touching topics even close to taboo topics because.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, well, that's a questionable one. I've already got clearance to do the show. So.
Well, it'd be funny if you were simply saying anytime we did come close to one, you're like, I cannot talk about that. Or you hold up a sign.
Yeah, it's just like, it would be like, and now we come to the section, Jonathan accuses himself. Today on Jonathan accuses himself.
You should just have a buzzer when something goes wrong.
Yeah. I'll just scream out, I need an adult.
Oh, we need a button that does that on a soundboard.
So we need a soundboard.
Soundboard's doable. That's easy.
You're gonna raise the production cost of the show.
I'm not sure whether or not soundboards add listeners or shoo away listeners. I mean, those morning shows do really well.
Well, yeah. I think it all depends upon how well you use it. And what I would recommend is if we do a soundboard, we put Ayaz's kid on the soundboard and we just let it go.
Yeah, that's probably actually what's going on right now. He's decided to grab a guitar and play it.
See, we're about to have a theme song.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. He was using a Radio Shack remote to slam on the strings, and he did a decent job.
So he's kind of doing a Van Halen thing, really.
Yeah, very, very experimental youth, you know, one of those things. Now he's got some plastic. Entertain yourselves.
Okay.
I almost thought he was talking to the kid at that point.
I figured he's got some plastic. Entertain yourself. I guess that would mean us.
Whatever.
So how are you?
I'm pretty good. How's your week going? Oh, yeah. Thanksgiving? Did we talk about that?
What's Thanksgiving?
Did we talk about that?
Yeah, we can talk about Thanksgiving.
Are you allowed to talk about Thanksgiving, Jonathan?
Hang on, let me check my list. Yes.
As long as we do not talk about pilgrims.
Yeah. I can't talk about...
the mass murder of turkeys.
I can't talk about purchasing Manhattan. That's right off.
That's a pretty detailed list you've got there.
Stuffing is okay. Cranberry sauce is questionable.
Is it any stuffing? What if it's cornbread stuffing? Is that allowed?
No, cornbread stuffing is actually encouraged. In fact, I should say that today's episode is brought to you by generic cornbread stuffing. Ask for it by name.
Okay, I got to steal that sometime. Generic and ask for it by name. I love it.
How was your Thanksgiving?
Mine was good. I spent it actually at a friend's family's house, so it was kind of entertaining. We kind of had a what would you call that, orphan Thanksgiving.
I've got a lot of friends who do those.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. How was yours?
Mine was groovy. I went up to Pennsylvania and hung out at my brother-in-law's house, and we fried a turkey.
Oh, nice!
And it was fried a turkey. It was uneventful. There was no explosion. There were no flames. Everything went perfect. The bird came out perfectly cooked. PETA would have been very upset. It was delicious. Loved it.
At my house,
how was your Thanksgiving?
We did Thursday. We didn't do Thanksgiving because my wife was sick, but we did it on Friday. And with our anti-Thanksgiving, because I don't like to visit family on Thanksgiving, it was just my wife, my son, and me. And my dogs, and no fancy turkey stuff. It was actually an enchilada night.
Did you dress
now,
the dogs up as Native
enchilada night?
No, it's not traditionally. Every year we try to do something different.
Did you at least dress
the
dogs?
I'm just saying it's Friday normally, enchilada night. But go ahead.
Oh, gotcha.
No, Friday.
Did you at least dress the dogs up as? Did you at least dress the dogs up as Native Americans?
One was a Native American. The other one was wearing buckles.
Gotcha. Did you
just
did you give buckles?
Yeah, buckles.
Did the buckles one settle down comfortably while the Native American one looked at you suspiciously as you tried to get it to lay on a blanket?
Well, no, the suspicion wasn't really there. They were kind of dim-witted, and they fell for the blanket thing.
All right.
That's the worst thing. You'd think the dog would learn, but not really. They're Canadian, so it's that's why.
Oh, okay. So, see, that's the problem is they were already confused because their Thanksgiving was like a month ago.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's one of the issues. You know, this is the problem with Canadian dogs.
Do they say woof A?
That's just silly. It's more like
that
woof.
Is silly.
It's more like woof A.
If I yeah,
it's more like Ubuntu, you know.
Ubuntu,
which actually sounds like Ubuntu.
If I visit you and those dogs are not wearing Mountie hats, I will be so sad.
You want my dogs to ride horses?
No, just to wear the hats.
Just to wear the hats. Okay, well, if this is the actual premise of this argument, you're going to visit my house in Petaluma.
I should probably back that up. I said, if I were to ever visit you.
I'll have to get two hats and keep them. Just in case.
It's not like I'm going to drop in it. Well, technically, I guess I could, but I'm not going to drop in any unannounced. Well,
how could you be pissed off if you just dropped in and they weren't wearing hats? I mean,
that would be a great set of like, okay, wait a second. Let me get something straight. The reason why Jonathan Strickland now considers me a mortal enemy is that he randomly showed up to my house, traveled thousands of miles to get here, found my little subdivision, knocked on the door, we let him in, he saw the dogs and they were wearing baseball caps, got so riled up and angry, decided to smash a window and then left.
You're dead to me, Ekta.
Yeah.
You're dead to me.
That's how most of my mortal enemies start, actually.
Let me put it this way, Ayaz. If I'm going to take the effort to fly across the country to California to arrive at your doorstep unannounced, you better take the minor effort it takes to put the Mountie hats on those dogs.
Where do you get Mountie hats?
Canada. I mean, they've got like dozens of them up there.
So just go up to Canada.
Cross the border.
Go up to Canada and just remove them from Mounties. And then... Do they have
step
to be authentic?
Step one, leave all your electronics at home. Step two, go to Canada.
Right.
Step three, buy some hats. Step four, come back.
Well, I'm glad I now have a new project for December. Maybe that'll be the documentary, My Pursuit of Mountie Hats.
You know, maybe that could, if you actually go up to Canada and then shoot some footage about what Canadians put in their pies, you know, that could you could get like, because, you know, we always say it's as American as apple pie.
Yep.
Well, I can tell you that when I went on a cruise a few years ago and there was a theme night, and the theme night was dishes from around the world, when it came to desserts, one of the desserts was a Canadian dessert, and that dessert was apple pie.
Oh, well, I don't know about that.
Maybe they just mean it's as North American as apple pie.
Well, yeah, they don't say United States of American as apple pie.
That's true. They just say it's as American as apple pie. But that's... Yeah. It's generally considered to be understood to be United Statesian. I mean, when you don't say, you know, as United Statesian as apple pie, you would say as American as apple pie. And
there
if you
is,
call
however,
a Canadian an American, they'd be very politely upset.
Apparently we have a fourth in today's episode who's now moving my pop filter, so now all the peas will pop worse. I think that means that's the end of the episode, unless you guys have anything else you want to say about apple pies and baseball and Mountie hats.
I think we could keep going. We're just getting started here.
We're just getting started. I'll just add on like 40 seconds of silence.
We should just add to be continued at the end of every episode.
I say we just go until we're exhausted and we can't speak anymore, and see how many listeners we lose after that.
Well, then we'd have to see them some kind of engagement numbers. See them as they drop off in the episode. We'd need some kind of like, yes, some kind of magic or analytics.
Yeah.
What we should do is leave a really long, quiet section, like, you know, like 20 minutes long of silence, and then just some sort of throwaway joke at the very end, and see who actually bothers. That's good. That's gold right there.
We have to isolate these for the soundboard.
What's going on is my mouth is being inspected.
So that's
so
why
you're raising
you
a dental
end
hygienist.
As usual.
Yep, those are my teeth. Yep. I think that's how the show should end. Those are my teeth.
Those
are the gums. Yeah, very good. All right, I'm stopping the recording.
I'm just listening to you now.
Yeah, this is just entertaining.
Is it really? I